This is the official EFL podcast with Mark Clement.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this special edition of the official EFL podcast with me, Mark Clement. This week is the EFL's first ever week of action. It builds on the success of their day of action, which has run for the past 5 years and has seen all 72 clubs from all three divisions come together to demonstrate the impact that football has in positively changing people's lives. Once again, the clubs and their community organisations are all involved, with players and managers joining participants across England and Wales in all sorts of activities and projects. Wigan Athletic hosting a coaching session for Afghan refugees. Bolton Wanderers supporting local adults at risk of offending. Cardiff City helping armed forces veterans who are at high risk of social isolation and loneliness. Blackpool conducting garden gate visits to isolated members of their community. And there's more. Sheffield Wednesday helping families who are in refuge housing. Portsmouth hosting an amputee football session. Coventry City supporting older adults with dementia or cognitive impairments to become more active. And Luton Town hosting 4 individual Fit Fans sessions. All brilliant schemes, and there are many, many more. Using the power of football, EFL clubs invest in the region of £60 million in their communities every year, engaging with some of the most vulnerable members of society. And this year, during the week of action, the aim is to continue that great work and help even more of the people who are most in need. We'll be speaking to some of those who've directly benefited from their club's projects, all run within their own communities, on this very special edition of the official EFL podcast. First up, we're going to talk to Roy, who found a sense of purpose in his life through 2 great passions, a commitment to family and an almost equally strong bond with his working life. Having represented Great Britain at the Olympic Games, he was accustomed to dedicating his skills to a single purpose and persevering to reach his goals. The realization of retirement and the decision to call time on a lifetime of work can be hard for anyone. The loss of self-purpose can be mentally challenging, with individuals losing their sense of belonging in a new and unstructured world. Unfortunately, Roy found these difficulties all too real and struggled badly. However, with the support of his loving family and through strength of character, he was able to slowly but surely get himself back on his feet. He found Shrewsbury Town in the community and their Extra Time Group. That's a session aimed at combating social isolation for those aged 55 years and above. He was welcomed to the group, and as the weeks went by, he began to build meaningful and positive relationships with other members. When a new technology club was created, Roy was confident enough to take a lead role, passing on his tech knowledge and know-how through demonstrations and lessons. Sadly, Roy's challenges continue to this day, with a recent diagnosis of prostate cancer. And I'm obviously very sorry to hear about that, Roy. How long ago was this when you got the ultimate diagnosis, right?
October of last year.
Right. So you've been undertaking treatment since?
No, they won't undergo treatment because my diabetes isn't low enough. And they say it isn't under control enough, so they won't do chemotherapy or radiotherapy. I am on a hormone treatment at the moment. But that's it. Just a hormone injection once every 3 months.
Roy, if you don't mind me asking, how are you tackling this situation? Because you could hear what I said in your intro, that you've had a challenging time since retirement. So how is it to suddenly find yourself in ill health as well?
I take each day as it comes. So I don't worry about things like what's happening with the prostate cancer or what's happening with this. I just want to get on and enjoy life.
Looking back to a sort of happier moment in life, representing Great Britain at the Olympics, what was your discipline? What was your sport?
100 and 200 metres butterfly.
Wow. And which Olympics are we talking about, Roy?
Good grief. 66. I can't even remember where they were now.
68 was Mexico. Do you remember being in Mexico, Roy?
Yes.
You do. And you said it was 2 Olympic Games. So what was...
No, it was one Olympic Games and one World Student Games.
Gotcha.
The World Student Games were in Leningrad.
Wow. And if you don't mind me asking, how did you get on in Mexico in 68?
Not as well as I would like to have done, I think is the politest way of saying.
Okay, let's just gloss over that. So just give me an outline of your career and what it was you did, because it sounds like you're a bit of a high flyer.
No, not really. I started off my working career as an O&A level chemistry teacher. And I taught at a residential school for intellectually maladjusted boys down in Kent, which was nice, but as you can imagine, very, very tiring. It was a 24-hour a day job. And then the Inland Revenue up in Telford were offering to teach people computing. And I thought, well, that sounds good. So I applied and I got in. So I thought I'd learn how to do computing. So I did that. And I worked for the Inland Revenue for 11, 12 years until, like so many government departments, we got sold off. They sold the computing part off to an American company. And the atmosphere of the place just changed completely. So I decided, nope, I'll have a look somewhere else. And I managed to find myself another job, which was great, which was doing the same sort of work, but working for an agency company. So I sort of went and worked different parts of the UK. And then I went and I got headhunted by BT to go and work on an NHS contract to allow any doctor anywhere in Britain to be able to log on and see all of your details, so all the sicknesses that you'd had, all the illnesses, everything. We got it working, and then some bright spark in the civil service in London decided he didn't like it, even though it was working, didn't like the way it was done. So he just put the kibosh on it all and said, no, we're going to restart it all over again. And there were two or three of us who were there as consultants who said, it won't work the way you want to do it. Oh, yes, it will. I know what I'm doing. So he didn't. So I decided that when my contract there finished, I decided that was enough. And then I went and worked in Dublin for 12 months.
Okay.
And thought, oh, I've enjoyed this.
Yeah.
Totally different world, totally different lifestyle as well. And when that finished, I thought, what am I going to do? And I found a job working for a Finnish company in Brussels, their computer headquarters were Brussels. And it was a 3-month contract, so I thought, well, we'll go and see what it's like. And I stayed there for 16 years until I retired.
Wow.
My role at the end of there was that I was the person responsible for all the software and the operating system that went on all of their computers worldwide. So that was 25,000 computers in 63 countries.
Wow. I mean, that's a big responsibility. And I can see you glowing as you look back nostalgically on your professional career. So that moment when you no longer have that responsibility, when you no longer have that structure in your life, when Roy wakes up and there's a blank sheet of paper in front of him, I guess the first few days, couple of weeks are a bit of a relief. You can do all those chores you've been putting off, but it very quickly caught up with you, Roy?
It did, because as well as having worked away, I've got lots of friends, but they're in India, Canada. You know, if I go on holiday, I'm fine because I've got places to go and stay. But coming back to Shrewsbury, which I did, was very difficult because I've lost contact with everybody that I knew beforehand. So it was a very difficult. And I've tried getting involved with two or three different things. And it was, oh, well, to do with IT in particular. And it was, oh, well, yeah, we'll come back to you. And people never did. So I got very, very low and very sort of depressed about that because I wanted to use my skills and people didn't seem to want them. And I found that very, very frustrating. And And it was like that, really, until somebody mentioned about the Shrewsbury Town in the Communica.
Did you have any interest in football when you learned about Shrewsbury Town's extra time group?
Well, I've always had an interest in football all my life. I've always had an interest in all sports.
And
football, I would go down and watch Shrewsbury Town. Unfortunately, I'm a Villa supporter as well, so I go over and watch them a few times.
Well, you've had some highs and lows over the last decade, haven't you? And walking in to that extra time session for the first time, are you still at a pretty low ebb? Your confidence is low. You wouldn't have your normal swagger.
It was very, very worrying to go in there to see. To obviously see a whole group of people who knew each other and not know anybody, but the staff were brilliant. They made you feel within sort of 5-10 minutes that you'd been there for years. And, you felt as if you were fully part of the group. You know, they did everything they could and still do with anybody else that turns up to make them feel 100% part of the group.
Roy, I love listening to people's life stories, career stories, the ebbs and flows, the highs, the lows, the jubilation, the challenges, and yours is no exception. It's been lovely to talk to you. Congratulations on overcoming your retirement challenges, and it goes without saying, good luck with your current fight.
Thank you very, very much. It's been a pleasure to do this.
The official EFL podcast with Mark Clement.
Next up, Shamsa, who as a teenager arrived in England from a small town in northern Italy. She was thrown into a new culture and able to speak the language. When she moved to Bradford, she fully immersed herself in NCS, that's National Citizen Service, with Bradford City's Community Foundation. This opportunity allowed her to develop her confidence levels, her social skills, and her ability to speak the English language. As part of her NCS experience, she collaborated with a group to create an inspiring mural in Bradford to help celebrate the diversity within the city and the work done by key workers during the pandemic. The project then gained huge traction as Shamsa was invited to number 10 Downing Street to join Prime Minister Boris Johnson at a thank you day barbecue. Despite receiving recognition of the highest order, Shamsa has not grown complacent and is driven to deliver more social action within her community by joining the Peer Action Collective program again with Bradford City's Community Foundation. What a journey. Do you mind me asking, how old are you?
I'm 18.
And how old were you when you first landed in Bradford from Italy?
I was 14.
Okay. The last 4 years then, I mean, can you begin to put them into words for us, Shamsa?
They were very long, the first few years, to be honest. I came here, I had no idea how to speak the language, so that was trouble. I did want to go back. I was like, maybe it's better for me just to go back. But it was a challenge. I started going to school. I literally started school after 2 months I came here and I didn't understand nothing. You could ask me what class you're in and I'll just look at you blank because I had no idea. And from there, it was hard for me to make friends and that was the motivation for me to, maybe I should do something more fun. And that's where NCS came in. I wanted to get my accent a bit sorted because many people made fun of me. So it was really hard for me in school first few years and I had my GCSEs as well. So I joined NCS and from there it was just like everything changed. First COVID came, so the main plan was it just went all down. I was so excited for the residential because it's a 4-week program. So you've got the residential, you've got social actions, and you've got your own set of skills you learn throughout the program. And that all jumped into 2 weeks. And I was sad, but I was still lucky because it was only 30 people in small bubbles that did it. So it was first week was all online. We worked on our skills and our social action. That was the mural. So we pretty much put the mural into little pages and we worked out what we wanted. And from there, with the second week when we actually met up at a small stadium, some of us started putting it together. So that's where I met new people. I started talking more and I was open. I used to be a really shy person. I literally wouldn't talk much because I was scared to get judged by my accent, because I'm really insecure about my accent. But now, because of NCS and how I was like accepted, it was a whole community for me. It was a family. And I'm just so proud of everything I have learned throughout my journey with NCS. And I feel like the biggest part of my life, if someone ever asked me, is NCS.
Do you know what, Shamsa? It takes a lot to shut me up, but I was just mesmerized because I have to compliment you on your English. It's breathtaking that your English can be so perfect. I mean, the work over those 4 years, language alone. I mean, how did you go about that? Was that conversational? Was that studying grammar books? I mean, how on earth have you been able to master a language so wonderfully in that time?
It was mostly about grammar. So I joined an English class first. I was doing, you know, when people come in the UK, mostly students will have, they won't do like proper subjects, but I was just put into the subjects. They put me down with all normal subjects and I was like, wow, year 9, I'm doing all my subjects with everyone else. They speak English, I don't. And then they put me as an extra class, they put me in English. And there I started doing a lot of grammar. It was every day you would have to, you know, put the sentences in together. And then I actually had 3 people that were from Italy themselves, but they had been here for about a few years. So that's where they helped me and said, oh, you know what, it's okay, you've got a funny accent like us, but you know, they helped me learn the language. So they would translate the things for me and then I'll put them together. And I made my own little dictionary, so I would write things in English and then write them back in Italian, the easier way for me than going and looking through all the other dictionaries.
Yeah, I mean, there's been some evocative footage over the last few weeks of what's happened with people having to leave Ukraine. And there's one clip that really sticks in my mind where some Ukrainian children were welcomed into an Italian school and the whole school was there waiting to applaud. That's the glossy stuff on the surface. The reality of being an outsider in a new community must be extremely challenging.
It is. It's really challenging, you know. I came here and for me, leaving Italy was really hard because I didn't want to leave that country. My parents said, you know, if you stay there, it's not going to be easier for your studies. And that was the main point they made, because this crisis is not easy to get jobs there. And the language, not everyone speaks Italian in the whole world, you know. And English being national, international, for me, it was easier to come here, learn the language, study here and get a better job wherever I wanted.
Just take me back with NCS. How long have you had that in your life? And because you mentioned the 4-week residential, but before that, what was your involvement with it? How long has it been in your life in total?
I haven't done the 4-week residential, you know. I've done NCS in 2019. That was the 2-week because of COVID.
Yeah.
And then I've done it again. I've done it again for autumn. Then I did it again for this summer because we were allowed, those who did it last summer, due to not having the residential, we were allowed to come back on. So I did this year, still no residential. And now I'm actually working on an NCS for this summer and hopefully we get a residential out of it.
Wow. I can't wait to see what new adventures you get on with that. If this is the byproduct of doing 2 weeks here, 2 weeks there, etc. I mentioned the mural that you did. Now, you need to tread very carefully here because Mr. Johnson, our Prime Minister, is in enough trouble with hosting parties at 10 Downing Street. This was during non-lockdown times, was it, this barbecue?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good to hear. Did you meet the man himself or did
he? Yes, I did. Yeah, it was a little dinner and it was me and 2 other teens from NCS that were invited. And then it was all different organizations and people who were recognized for what they did during the lockdown and COVID.
I mean, what a reward and what a sense of confidence Yeah. That must have given you, Shamsa, that you, out of all the people in the country involved in all these different projects, and particularly with NCS, were one of the ones selected to go along for such a high gathering, shall we call it?
Yeah, I was proud of myself. I'm not a very proud person for myself, but that day I was like, oh my God, you know, I'm here between the teens, and I didn't feel like I've done a massive thing, but then I realized, you know, I'd helped my community, and it hit me that, oh my gosh, that's the reward you get for helping the community. That's, you know, it's all worth it at the end. And I've never stopped doing something for the community from then.
Yeah.
Even from before.
There's your deeds with what you do for the community, but there's actually your status as a figurehead, because it makes me wonder how many more Shamsas are out there who just need that opportunity to apply themselves, a little bit of direction, some kind Italian speakers that help translate for them in the first few days or first few months at school. Do you think there's a lot out there?
I feel like there is a lot out here. And I feel like as a country, the UK is very accepting, because the way I was accepted, not just in Bradford, in my school, but when I came in NCS, the Bradford City community, that's, I'll call it my family now. That's how they've helped me with my skills. They've helped me to be more confident. I wouldn't speak to you. I was shy, and they opened me up. I'm more of an extrovert now. They helped me to public speak, and I'm not shy if I got to talk to 100 people in front of me. I'm not going to shy up, because I feel like I deserve it now. Like, you know, I've done a lot, and I'm going to keep going. And it just, the drive you get so much happiness from the, even a little thing. I could just walk down the street and, let's say, give a sandwich to a homeless person, but the happiness, the internal happiness I get, that's what drives me to do more and more.
Do you feel like a figurehead? Do you feel like you're there to act as a beacon for those that might not have found their way yet?
I feel like my story will drive a lot of people, and I really hope that at least one young person sees me and says, oh, you know, she's done all this and I want to be like her. I want to do something for my community.
What do you think the future is going to hold for you? Where are you going to go from here on?
We'll keep with my Peer Action Collective, with youth crime research. I will keep with contact with NCS as I'm working this summer, but if you think about 5 years ahead, I want to be a police officer. I've applied this year, so fingers crossed, hopefully I get in.
I'm trying to think of what 14-year-old Shamsa would think of 18-year-old Shamsa making that statement. I mean, this is being involved with these two schemes, both with NCS and also obviously with PAC, has really changed your life, has it not, Shamsa?
Yeah, I was a totally different person. I wouldn't recognize myself 4 years ago.
Wow. Do you like football? Have you become a Bradford City fan?
I actually don't understand anything about football.
Shamsa, this is the official EFL podcast, the official Football League podcast, the oldest football league in the world, dating back to 1888. You come on here and start telling me you don't know anything about football.
No, I don't know anything about football.
But it just goes to prove how important our football clubs are to their communities, because
they are.
If they hadn't been involved in these schemes, you and I would not be talking now.
And I wouldn't have all the skills I have. I wouldn't have the job I have at PSC. I wouldn't have my friends. I made friends for life with them. I actually, NCS was hosted by them. Like, it was their staff doing it. And for me, those friends are for life now. We might not be all from, you know, BDA, BD9. We might not be all living closely. We've got people who actually come from quite far, but we still are in contact today.
Shamsa, you are an absolute inspiration. You've made me smile. Thanks throughout you. This entire chat. Wherever the future takes you, good luck with it.
Thank you.
This is the official EFL podcast.
And finally, football fanatic Mo was sceptical about his future and plagued by self-doubt until he joined Oldham Athletics' training ground programme. Before this bout of self-development, through the course's educational and practical support, Mo had no form of daily routine, but the programme has given him a proper purpose whilst creating a sensible schedule for him to work to. The training ground programme aims to develop a range of skills through pushing participants out of their comfort zones into various situations they might find in the professional world, from CV writing to presenting. It's aimed at young people aged 18 to 24 who are currently out of work and may be at risk of becoming long-term unemployed. Participants may be in receipt of or eligible to claim universal credit at the start of the program, although equally, they may not be in receipt of any government benefits at all. They must, though, be NEET, that is, not in education, employment, or training to be eligible to take part in the programme. Football fanatic, Mo, I'm going to assess that first of all. Who's your team?
Who's my team?
Yeah.
Arsenal.
How on earth is a kid living in Oldham supporting Arsenal? You can explain that one for starters.
Well, me and my family are all Arsenal supporters, and apart from one of my brothers who's a United supporter, and that's about it.
How? What was the link? Was this your dad or older brother?
Yeah, my dad.
It was your dad, right.
Yeah.
And what was the link for him? How did he become an Arsenal fan? What do you know how it set in?
He was just like mainly around London at the time, and obviously he was just more into watching to Arsenal. So obviously through him, we obviously ended up supporting Arsenal.
Well, it was all right in his era, but for you, over your sort of over your late childhood years and into young adulthood, it's not been so great, has it? But we'll push that one to one side. Listen, Mo, tell me how you found out about the scheme, if you would, please.
It was through Universal Credit, where I was on the journal and it just come up. And it was just saying about this opportunity where it could be at different clubs, whatnot. So obviously I got in touch with my manager, and she ended up obviously calling someone from Oldham to call me, and that's obviously how I found out. And from then on, I got an interview, and then I went on board to do the course.
And it's been proper life-changing from your point of view, Mo?
Yeah. It has, quite a lot, to be fair.
Can you give us a little comparison between daily life before you started on the programme to daily life as it now is? Oh, yeah.
Before I started, to be fair, it's like I didn't have much to do on me, so obviously I wasn't as busy. Whereas obviously after having to do the course, whatnot, obviously I had other stuff to do, like sorting out my own things, having like a proper routine, and like on top of that, having to go like some one-to-one sessions with my tutor that I was with at the course, and obviously from then on, I was able to like explore and learn new skills during that time on the course.
I get you. So, I mean, I'm trying to imagine how you felt that first time when you turned up at the club. I'm assuming that was a bit of a leap of faith for you. That was the first sort of example of having to come out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, it was, because I didn't actually know how it was going to be at the course. You know, meeting new people, like knowing like how it is from their backgrounds. Because obviously it's like a football club, I thought, you know what, let me give it a try, see how it goes.
That's really interesting. So you saying the fact it was at the club added that little bit of credibility to it that made you be willing to take those first steps, which some other people might not do, Mo?
Yeah, because obviously I'm into football a lot. So I thought, you know what, let me take this opportunity to see how he is.
Walking in that room for the first time and meeting a group of complete strangers. Listen, lots of people in all walks of life experience that, and a lot of people turn around and walk straight back out again. What kept you going?
To be fair, at first when I did go in, obviously I was actually like proper quiet, because obviously it's like that's how I am. But then I thought, you know what, there's no point me wasting this time if I'm going to go there and not do anything. So obviously I thought, let me carry on with this. And obviously getting to know the new people that were there, like it actually helped me build up my communication a lot with others. So I thought, you know what, let me carry on, increase my skills like teamwork, like team building, communication, friendship, resilience, all that kind of stuff.
Mo, is it quite a sort of shock to the system? Because you go from, I guess, being around home and not a lot of structure to having to be at the club at a certain time, and you're going to be letting other maybe course members down if you're not there when you say you'll be. That feels like quite a culture shock for you.
Yeah, it is, to be fair, because obviously, like I was saying before, like not quite of a routine I had, whereas after that, while I was there, more of a routine, structured, like being on time, having more discipline in what you want to do, showing that you actually want to like learn and go for the extra mile and getting what you want to do.
Yeah. What's been the most nerve-wracking part of the course? I've mentioned comfort zone a couple of times. What's been the one moment where you've had to take a really deep breath before you walked forward?
In all honesty, when I was at the course, it was when we had to do like presentations, because obviously we'd obviously go at the front and do it, but obviously I'm not really good at. So having to do it there at the course obviously kind of improved me. But I'd say that was probably my main thing that was like lacking, I'd say.
Well, you're not alone in that. In surveys, it regularly comes down as society's number one fear. What kind of sensations hit you when you did have to stand up in front of the group and talk?
I'd say mainly more stuttering because I haven't done like a presentation in quite some time. So I thought, obviously, as you get on, I'll be more confident, whatnot. And obviously, I actually did, to be fair. But obviously, before that, I actually was like, it was proper nervous for me.
Now you get up and do it on a regular basis without even really thinking about it?
I think I'd be pretty fine. Another thing I'd like to add is that while we were on the course, like Callum would take us out for some interviews, asking us how the course was. Even when we had a work experience to do, we got like interviewed there. So to be fair, I was building up some more experience for when it comes to like having to be like a one-to-one thing.
Callum is the press, the media officer at Oldham, for anybody that's trying to work that bit out. How have your confidence levels overall lifted, Mo, since you became involved with the club's programme?
It's actually raised quite a lot, I'd say, because after I had completed the course, when it came to the like employment or not, like because obviously I'm working in primary schools with kids, I was able to like communicate well with them. I'd say even on the course at first, when I wasn't like speaking to the other students that were there, getting to know more, just building my relationships with them, and then further on from there, I just improved more and more. And I'd say I'm quite confident in speaking to anyone now, really.
As you're demonstrating now, Amo. You've given a little hint of this, but you're involved with schools now? Because I was going to ask how you've progressed from the lessons that you learned yourself to moving your life on from there. What kind of things are you involved in now?
Currently is obviously, it was obviously there's the school, the football kick sessions, obviously the evening sessions, where at first, obviously, I did not expect how it would be like, because it was when I got the call about like coaching and school delivery, because I've never done something like that, I thought obviously I'll explore something new, see how it is. And obviously at the course, one of my tutors I had obviously called James, I obviously got the opportunity to work with him and be under his wing and see how things are like when it comes to actual coaching and whatnot. So that's kind of opened up something for me where I could look in the future and see if I actually want to do and whatnot, whether it's in schools or not. It could be like coaching, local, wherever.
So life's come full circle for you. You've taken advantage of Oldham Athletics scheme. You've taken advantage of the programme, but now you're actually giving back and involved in teaching yourself and helping others.
Yeah. Even though coaching was not my first thing to do, I still quite liked it, to be fair. Like, one thing I do enjoy from the school was being able to go for the school tournaments. And because, obviously, I'm with someone else helping, like, coaching the kids after school club, it obviously shows how far they get in the tournaments in school. Like, last week, we went for a tag rugby one, and obviously, we won. So, obviously, it shows the progress that we made for these kids and showing that, like, we actually want to do it.
Is this a future direction for your own career? Do you foresee yourself being involved in coaching more and more?
To be fair, I've not really thought of it just yet, but that would be one of the things I would look at, yeah, if I were to go into it.
From when you first walked in for your first session at the Training Ground program to when we're talking to you now, how long a time span are we talking about? We're talking about a year and a bit, 2 years? How long?
Just under a year.
Just under a year. Compare Mo's life a year ago to Mo's life now and the changes that have taken place in you.
From before, it was just like, just the same old waking up, doing nothing really, to be fair, just like going out, nothing much to do. Whereas obviously now, being able to go into other places, working for a club, which is a big thing for me or for some others, having this opportunity to gain as much experience as I can through the employability and through the Kickstart scheme.
So you're much better prepared to tackle the world of work. If we're having a conversation in 5 years' time, where do you think you're going to be, Mo?
If it is through coaching or not, then hopefully Arsenal.
Oh, you're such a master communicator now. We're finishing the interview where we started. It's perfect. The only thing is, I can see you as we're having this chat for the Official EFL podcast, and you're wearing an Oldham Athletic tracksuit top, are you not? Does your dad allow you back in the house wearing that?
Yeah, I'm sure he would.
Really? I think as you get in the front door, you might have to put it in a plastic bag and give it to your mum to go and hide somewhere so he doesn't see it. What a pleasure to talk to you, Mo. Whatever the future holds, good luck.
Thank you very much.
That is it for this special episode of the Official EFL podcast. Three brilliant stories and excellent interviewees, I'm sure you'd agree. All focusing on the fantastic work that the 72 clubs do during the EFL's Week of Action. A big thank you to Mo, to Shamza and Roy for sharing their stories. If you'd like to know more about how you might be able to take part in projects in your local community, then have a look on your own club's website or go to www.efltrust.com. That's www.efltrust.com for more information on what's happening across the country. If you've enjoyed this week's episode, then do please give us a 5-star rating, press the subscribe button and share on your socials. If you'd like to get in touch, our email address is podcast@efl.com. That's podcast@efl.com. My name is Mark Clement. Join us again soon for another episode of
The Official EFL Podcast.